Final hour on this Friday, Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Jake Lyman in today, alongside Derek Mason, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, and we are now joined by Willie Donick, who has joined us for the final hour. Willie, how are you on this Friday afternoon?
Hello, gentlemen. Good to be with you. You guys are sounding great. Great to join the team for the final hour here. We got to head to New York. Got a big game coming up on Sunday.
Well, we'll talk all about that right now with Zach Rosenblatt, who joins us on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Writer with The Athletic, covering the Jets. Zach, thanks so much for taking some time with us. Getting excited for this game this weekend, I'm sure.
Yeah, I always enjoy a trip to Nashville, so I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Well, Zach, coming off that Monday night football game where, you know, things didn't look great on either side of the ball for the Jets, what's kind of been the feeling in that building heading into week two, a short week with a lot of travel involved as well?
You know, I think the biggest thing with week one is, you know, they view themselves as a contender, and they went against somebody who's been there and done that and is a contender. They were not ready for that game. So I think that was a real good measuring stick for them, just be like, okay, we have a long way to go. And now they come into week two. It really puts an emphasis on how important this game is because, you know, the Titans are not viewed in the same way as the 49ers. So if the Jets go out there and play like they did last week and they play poorly, then people are going to start getting concerned about what the season's going to look like.
And for Aaron Rodgers, coming back from that torn Achilles injury, and, you know, he gets put back out there on Monday Night Football, same similar circumstances where he had the injury last year. Did it kind of feel like he needed to just get that one game under his belt to maybe feel comfortable back out there, and now he can kind of go heading into week two?
Yeah, I think there was some kind of weight on that moment. I think that is definitely fair. And, you know, the irony of, you know, he only made it four plays last year, and then on the fourth play, he got out of it unscathed, but he threw it to the guy who fumbled it away, so he didn't even get the fifth play right away. He had to wait for it. It was kind of ironic. But, you know, he got through that game. I think he showed some flashes of being Aaron Rodgers. He's clearly not like the mobile-type quarterback he used to be, but he has a good offensive line in front of him now. He only got hit twice, which is a real benefit for this team that hasn't had a very good offensive line for a long time. But, yeah, I think getting through that unscathed, feeling like, okay, this is the first game where he's actually played with his guys, and now they can go forward with the knowledge of what they experienced last week.
We'll talk with Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic discussing the Tennessee Titans as they host the New York Jets this Sunday. Now, Zach, one of the things that the Jets could hang their hat on last season was their defense. And obviously, after that first game, their defense didn't play nearly as well as they played last season. What are the concerns with the Jets in their defense? And will they have Mosley as well as Sauce Gardner 100% to go for this game?
Yes, Sauce and Mosley will be 100% good to go. They had a couple things that came up last week, but the Jets are actually pretty healthy relatively overall. And yeah, but yeah, in terms of, you know, the biggest concern, I think everybody who watched that Monday night game saw their defensive line just not getting off blocks. They were not pressuring the passer. They were not stopping the run. And the defensive line has been a strength of this team for a few years now. They've had a rotation of guys that have been really talented this offseason. You know, they traded away John Franklin Myers. They let Bryce Huff leave, and they traded for Hassan Reddick, hoping that he could fill that role. And then, obviously, he hasn't even reported the team yet. So, you know, they're putting in guys who are meant to be backups. And last week it was really concerning. So if I have any concern, you know, I've said since Monday, there hasn't been many games over the last couple of years where I didn't come out of it saying the offensive line or the quarterback was the biggest concern. That was not the biggest concern on Monday. It was the defensive line, and that's a problem. And, you know, I think this is going to be a week for them to really show that was just them going against Trent Williams and a great offensive line, going against a young Titans offensive line. This is the kind of group that they need to play really well against. And if they don't, then all of a sudden there might be a little pressure on them to try and pay Hassan Reddick to come into the building.
Now, one of the calling cards of Aaron Rodgers over his career has been his ability to distribute the football to not one or two people.
Yep.
But he's been having the ability, unlike any other quarterback, to get everybody within the offense involved in the game. That didn't happen so much the first week. I think he only hit three guys, really. That was Breece Hall, obviously Garrett Wilson, and then you have Lazard. Is there any concerns based upon that? Because even Lazard, at times, he doesn't look like the same receiver he was when Aaron Rodgers had him in Green Bay. We know who Garrett Wilson is as a player. hell of a player, hell of a receiver. But if I think if Aaron Rodgers is going to be effective the way we used to see him, he's going to have more than this those two guys from a receiving standpoint be able to get involved in the offense.
Yeah, you know, and to your point, I think I saw a crazy stat the other day that it was literally the first time in his career that he only completed passes to three receivers, which for somebody who's played as many games as he has, that's pretty crazy. So I can't imagine that's going to be something that repeats itself. They do have a lot of weapons. I think that one of their bigger issues last week is that the defense was just not getting off the field, so the time of possession difference was something like 20 minutes, which is pretty unsustainable. And so, you know, they didn't really have that many plays. They maybe went three and out a little too many times. So I think you'll see guys like tight end Tyler Conklin get more involved. As Mike Williams gets healthier, he'll get more involved. And Aaron will start spreading the ball around like you know and everybody knows. And at the end of the day, Garrett Wilson's going to be his number one target. He had 11 targets, and Aaron Rodgers even said that wasn't enough. So I think you're going to see a team that's going to pass the ball more, and then once they start doing that, Aaron will spread the ball around. And if you end games where he's only completed passes to three players, I can't imagine many of those games are going to end in a win.
We're talking to Zach Rosenblatt. He's with The Athletic, covers the New York Jets, who are coming in for the home opener against the Titans on Sunday. Zach, anything new on the Hassan Reddick front? I'm sure at all times you've kind of got your senses up to see if anything breaks there, but it's been such a long time. What's got to happen for this to give?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. It just feels like a game of chicken that is not going to end because, you know, both have been standing on their principles, whereas the Jets say, we're not going to talk to you unless you're in the building, and they believe that it will set a bad precedent if they give a guy some money who has not stepped foot in their building, whereas the Hassan Reddick side is like, well, I deserve this money, and I'm not coming to the building unless you pay me. So I don't know where the end is. I think it seems to me like Hassan Reddick's pretty dug in, so it takes some desperation on the Jets side, and I don't know if it's going to get there. They have an owner I don't think is going to want to pay him the money that Hassan Reddick wants. And so, you know, I think there's a non-zero chance at this point that he never plays it down for the Jets, which is pretty insane considering the circumstances. I don't think there's ever been a holdout quite like this one where a guy comes to a new team, shows up for his intro press conference, and then holds out and never plays for that team. Like, it's pretty unique.
How much of a difference do you think he could make? What was the idea in trading for him? Because I think a lot of Titans fans are curious because the edge rushers for the Bears did a lot of damage, especially late in the game against the Titans on Sunday, and they're wondering what the Jets bring to the table there. But I'm sure that's why they got Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, I mean, they got him for his pass rushing prowess. You know, this is a guy that's fourth in the NFL in sacks over the last 4 years. Over the last 2 years of the Eagles, he was utterly dominant. 2 years ago, he was in the Defensive Player of the Year running. Like, this is a guy that, at his best, is one of, if not the best, pass rushers in the NFL. He doesn't bring as much in terms of run defense, but he's such an impactful player as a pass rusher that, you know, it would allow the Jets to, you know, have more of a rotation at defensive end, which they like to do, where he's, you know, dominating on passing downs, and then they have some guys come in on running downs. And without him, you kind of remove that element. There's Quinnen Williams is getting doubled more, and there's not as many blockers to pull off him, and so they're really missing a guy like that right now.
What did you think? What has the reaction been in your neck of the woods about the schedule? I going all the way out to San Francisco, and then coming into Nashville, and then they've got a pretty quick turnaround. Don't they play next Thursday? Did I see that right?
Yeah, 3 games in 10 days to start the season, and then I think they have another stretch like that pretty early in the season as well. You know, I think it was a bigger story when the schedule came out. I think now that it's here, that all they can do is play with the schedule they have. I do have concerns about that because, you know, as you guys know, they have a 40-year-old quarterback, and they have some guys with injury questions like Tyron Smith, like Mike Williams, and a few other guys across the board. So I do have some concerns about that, and that's why I think this Titans game is especially important because if they lose this one and then you go on a short week against a Patriots team that looks maybe a little better than people expected it, then all of a sudden you're in dicey territory. And these Titans and Patriots games are supposed to be ones that they're supposed to win as a so-called contender. So I think Sunday's game is quite important for a week two game for the Jets.
Talking with Zach Rosenblatt, the writer at The Athletic, covering the Jets. Zach, quickly back over to the offensive side of the ball. Garrett Wilson, known as one of the most talented receivers in the league, he'll likely be matched up with Legarius Sneed a lot on Sunday. How do you view that matchup between Wilson, a guy who clearly can make plays, and Sneed, a guy who's been known to shut down opposing teams' number one receiver?
Yeah, you know, it's always fun watching Garrett when he goes against top corners like that, and he has the benefit of going against Sauce Gardner in practice every day. In training camp, their battles are very fun to watch. They both win their reps at various times. And so I think that has prepared him for a situation like this. And I think the most impressive part about Garrett, he doesn't necessarily need to be wide open for not only Aaron Rodgers, for any quarterback to find him, because he can go up and he's so athletic and he's so good at route running as he's developed as a receiver that, you know, even if Legarius is shutting him down, hypothetically, I think Aaron Rodgers will find ways to get him the ball. I think so. That'll be an interesting thing. If Rodgers struggles to get the ball and Snead is shutting him down in that way, the rest of the Jets receiving core has some questions. So I think that's going to be, you know, maybe the most important matchup of this game.
Now, it's two-part here. One for the defense and really for Saleh, the head coach. What does he need to do, or what does the Jets need to do to ensure that, because obviously, you know, he's going to be on the hot seat, or he is on the hot seat, especially with the meltdown last year and not being able to get the quarterback situation right, even though you had Aaron Rodgers. But what is it that he needs to do and the team needs to do to ensure that, is it a you need to go to AFC Championship game or you need to go to the Super Bowl in order to, you know, flat out keep your job? And then the second question to that is, from the offensive line standpoint, because we're dealing with the same problems here in Nashville, a bunch of new guys together, they're still trying to figure it out. Is that what they're going through with the Jets, just trying to figure things out with these new pieces on that front line?
Yeah, you know, in terms of Robert Saleh and his job security, I think at the very baseline, they need to make the playoffs. You know, this is a team with the longest playoff drought in the NFL, 13 years. And if they don't make the playoffs, he's absolutely gone. Then I think if they make the playoffs and, you know, then let's say they get blown out in the first round, I don't think he survives that either. So I think they need to make some, they need to make the playoffs and need to make it clear that they are in contention to go on a run. And if that's not what happens, whether they win the Super Bowl or not, I have a hard time thinking owner Woody Johnson will keep them around. And as for the offensive line, you know, the Jets offensive line has been a bigger issue in past years. You know, they brought in Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, John Simpson. They brought back Elijah Vera Tucker, and they have Joe Tippmann at center. It's a solid group of five. They had some issues in run blocking last week, but the pass blocking was as good as I've seen in a long time. So I think, like I said, I don't think the offensive line is as big of a concern as it's been in the past, but you still need to see them do much better in the running game because this is a Jets team that wants to be a running team.
Zach, before we let you go, I was curious. You guys actually got to see Aaron Rodgers, you know, for a full game. It looked like he was winging the ball all over the place. He could really throw it. The question came up during this week on a podcast I was listening to. I thought it was a good question of whether they sort of held back a little bit on plays that would have him moving around a lot with the situation he's coming back from and at his age. It makes perfect sense. But do you feel like, as they get a feel for Aaron Rodgers, that you might see a little bit more vintage Rodgers moving around rather than be sitting in the pocket?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question. I think the idea is that over time he'll be more comfortable in those moments because, you know, this was his first game where he could even get hit. So, you know, I think I have questions about whether he still has the physical ability to be like a guy on the move like he used to be. We did see some of it in training camp. That's different when you know you're not going to get hit. So, yeah, I'm very curious to see if the playbook opens up a little bit in terms of him getting out of the pocket, because that's when he's at his best.
Zach, thanks so much for taking some time with us. Appreciate your insights on the Jets. Thanks again, and enjoy Nashville this weekend.
Thanks, guys. It was great talking to you.
Zach Rosenblatt, writer for The Athletic, covering the Jets. Great stuff there. As we learn a little bit more about who the Titans will be facing off against this weekend, make sure to tune in to 93.3 FM, Totally Hits, Totally Nashville, tomorrow for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will take on Western Kentucky at Floyd Stadium. Pregame starts at 4:30, kickoff at 6. Coverage is also available on the 93.3 FM, Totally Hits, Totally Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. And also tomorrow night, you can tune in right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores taking on Georgia State on the road. Pregame at 4:30, kickoff at 6. Coverage available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Big thanks to Zach Rosenblatt for stopping by. When we come back, we'll catch up with Willie. Talk a little Vandy baseball. Kumar Rocker making his MLB debut last night for the Rangers and much more. That's up next here on Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.